And I too greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here today. We welcome you who are joining us online. Don and Joan, if you're there this morning, we all just turn around and greet you. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to talk this morning about how God acts and moves in our lives. And it can be a big question sometimes when we think about, I've seen God do this in Scripture, will He do that in my life today when I pray to Him? If I've seen Him do it in Scripture, surely He'll do it in my life, right? Well, we're going to talk about some questions that we all have, I believe. And we're continuing in our series, Four Grown Men, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are recording life lived with Jesus by disciples who walked with Jesus and spent time with Him personally every day for 3 years. So every time we think about who the disciples are, let's just think about that's us just 2,000 years ago. Many of their responses and interactions that they had with Jesus probably would have been similar to our reactions and responses. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. The title of my message this morning is Proactive, Reactive, or Just Plain Active. Harley, good to see you. Good to have you this morning. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was still by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at His feet and pleaded earnestly with Him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And this would be our response, wouldn't it? My response, your response. Jesus, you see everybody crowding around you, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, and trembling with fear, told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and shared, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at Him. After He'd put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him, that's us, and went in where the child was, and He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kavum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. And He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and He told them to give her something to eat. throughout the centuries, we have kind of distilled some ideas down. Mankind has distilled some ideas down about who God is and what He does. As Christians, we certainly have the idea of who He is because we understand it from the Bible. But let me give you three theories about God, not necessarily from a Christian point of view, but as people contemplate God. Number one, God created the heavens and the earth, but when it comes to mankind, He can't do anything to change how things are turning out. The second theory is that He is the Creator, but He has chosen not to intervene in the lives of people. And in fact, He's taken kind of a wait-and-see attitude. Let's wait and see how they do. Let's see if they completely self-destruct. And then the third idea, or theology that we get from Scripture as Christians is that He is our Creator. And thank God He has chosen to intervene. Amen? Because we need desperately His intervention. And He gets involved in the affairs of people, you and me, on the earth. This painting, taken from a picture that is looking up at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel from Michelangelo, painted around 1507 to 1512. This is a fresco, which means that Michelangelo looked at the ceiling and he applied a little bit of plaster. And while the plaster was still wet, Michelangelo applied the dye, the colors, the imagery into the wet plaster. And so as that plaster dried, the dye, the paint, was literally set into the plaster. It became part of the ceiling, part of, not just on top, but part of the ceiling. This picture is called The Creation of Adam, and it is perhaps one of the most duplicated pictures that we have of ancient art. It is a picture of God and Adam. We're going to talk more about this picture in a moment, but as Christians, thank God we have more than just being left to our own thoughts about who God is. Amen? And did you know that you don't have to look at Facebook or to Facebook to figure out who God is? Amen? God has given us of Himself, of His Word. In fact, people's first understanding of who God was came from nature. And then later in the Old Testament, God gave His law to the people of Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. He brought a chaotic nation into order through the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God and serve Him only, for He is one God. And then the rest of the Ten Commandments brought order out of chaos. We also know that we can understand who God is through His Son, Jesus. And these days, we look to the Bible and we see that as Jesus walked and talked on the earth, how He interacted with people. In fact, our understanding of God comes from seeing how Jesus lived and interacted with people like you and me. And then there's the Holy Spirit. By the way, today is Pentecost Sunday. Happy birthday, church. Amen. God brought the church into existence as His body, His fingers, His hands, His feet in the world today. So all these aspects, resources, and in Jesus we find an understanding of who God is and how He interacts with people. Let's go back to the scripture that we read this morning. There's two miracles that happen in this scripture. The first one is Jesus responding to Jairus. And the second one, and remember how it goes, Jairus falls on his feet before Jesus, falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "You got to help my little daughter. She's dying." And Jesus agrees, and he goes to follow Jairus to his home. And while he's going, a woman who's been subject to bleeding for 12 years, apparently unbeknownst to Jesus, comes, and Carter played this in the drama for the Life of Christ. This was her role. She was the one who came up behind Jesus when no one was looking and touched his cloak in the middle of the crowd. And Jesus turned around, and in the midst of everybody pressing in on him, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And immediately she was healed. Healing flowed through him, and he didn't even have to think about it. Amen? We have the idea that God is both active, proactive, and reactive. He responds to our requests, and then there's times that he's rushing towards us, like God is pictured in the painting of Michelangelo, and then there's times that we don't know exactly what he's up to, but we are assured that he is active. Amen. Both of our miracles today, we find Jesus choosing to respond and Jesus not choosing to respond, just healing, because it's part of who he is. Praise God. Like an artesian well, both his initiative into our lives and his response to our desperate plea for healing flow out of his compassion and character. God understands our desperate plea for him. I'm thankful that he sees the need and responds. So if you were to take the situations going on in your life right now, would you say, "God's going to be reactive, he's going to respond to my prayer"? Or, "God's going to fix it even if I don't even know the prayer to ask"? I'm not sure we can answer those questions, because I'm not sure they are ours to answer. But let's go a little deeper. I'm thankful that healing does not just come to the physical. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Last service at Lost Lake, Pastor Bob, after I preached the sermon, got up and he said, "I got to share a story of healing." He said, "I was healed at District Assembly from lifelong bouts of dizziness." And he says, "I've been painting my house." And he says, well, I won't tell you his story, but he says, "I have been, anytime I go like this, I would maybe lose my balance." But he says, "I've been painting my house for 6 weeks," and he says, "I haven't had any dizziness, and I give praise and glory to God." We would think, "Lord, would you do that for me?" Well, that's the question we need to wrestle with, and it's okay to wrestle with it. Michelangelo's painting, The Creation of Adam, seems to capture this question, these questions that we wrestle with in our minds. Adam is pictured as weak and laying on a rock. It's like he doesn't have any strength. His hand is there limp, as though he can barely lift his arm to God. And God is pictured as in flight with his finger extended toward Adam, with his holy angels surrounding him as they rush to Adam. Now, we believe that God not only created Adam, but he created the rock that Adam was lying on. And we also believe that Scripture teaches that he has created us with the capacity for free choice, even if we choose to exercise that choice in self-destructive means. All this leaves us with a couple questions. Is God going to fix me? even if I don't reach out to him? Is he going to somehow, at some point, someday, just make it right? Make me right? Heal my body? Heal my spirit? Prepare me for heaven? Or another question, is God going to fix me even if I do reach out to him? These are really great questions that I'm not sure right now we can have the answers to. And I'm not sure the Bible was written to give us specific answers to these questions. Let's remember, God is God and we can't put him in a box. Amen? Some of us have prayed for healing for particular issues or healing in relationships for many years. And we're like, Lord, why can't you just come down and make it work? And we struggle and we strain and we pray earnest prayers. And sometimes God just does it. Amen? And he responds to our prayers. And sometimes it's like, Lord, we've prayed for this for years and it still is broken. These are questions that I believe you and I deal with every day of the week. As we struggle with the realities of things going on in our lives, and we contrast and compare that with what's going on in the lives of others, and we look at somebody and we say, why are they so blessed? How do they seem to just cruise through life without struggles? And then we look at others and we're like, man, all you got to do is look around and realize there's always somebody that's got it worse off than you. All I know is this, that God does bless our faith in him, and he asks us to extend our faith to him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 15. See, we believe this. We believe the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And I believe that you and I ought to pray in faith, amen? And we ought to come before him in boldness and in confidence that he is going to answer our prayer. Now, sometimes he may not answer a prayer that's not within his will the way we want him to answer it. And here again, there might be something that God is teaching us that's far better and far bigger than just you and I being relieved from a temporary ailment. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. This is Matthew's recording of the same event that we read about in Mark. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, this is right after the events with Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they said. And he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly not to tell anyone about this. And we're like, Lord, is it just a matter of me placing my faith in you and having enough faith, and then I will be healed? Well, yes, no, I don't know. Maybe. Let's look further. There's those like the Apostle Paul who struggled with some issues. By the way, as Jesus was being crowded around that day and they were going from place to place on their way to Jairus' daughter's house, there were people, Scripture records, crowding in on him, and the disciples were totally shocked that Jesus would say, who touched me? I'm sure all those people had issues too. And nobody else got up and said, I've been healed. I just touched Jesus. It was just this one. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. The Apostle Paul certainly struggled with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. Three times, hear me all the way back, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. We don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was, but we know it was something, probably something physical. Then it hurt. How many of you can relate? It was something physical and it hurt, and you've asked the Lord to take it away. But then Jesus responded, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." So we have an example of I wouldn't want to say that I had more faith than Paul, right? Here, a man of faith, who had a lot of faith, pleaded for healing, and that's not how God chose to work at this moment in his life. There was something bigger going on that God wanted to show Paul. Maybe that's why it ends the way it does. "Therefore, I will boast more about gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions. For when I am weak," in other words, when I can't even, like Adam, hardly raise my arm, and I don't even know what to pray anymore, then I'm strong. You see, I'm realizing the older I get that the ultimate goal for every follower of God is not making it to heaven. The ultimate goal is to know Christ. In Scripture, there are several references to the apostles, the disciples, consenting to going through suffering and hardships so that they will know Christ and participate in his sufferings to know him better. Philippians 3, 10 and 11 says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." In other words, I want to know what you've went through. I want to know what sin has cost you as we participate in sufferings with Christ, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin to distribute the elements of communion. As you're receiving the elements this morning, if you would hold them, and we'll partake of them together in a few moments. Here again from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 8, says, "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods." Thank you, Chase. "Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers." And at some point, you and I can all say, I can relate to that, and I just wanted to turn my face toward heaven and say, "Lord, deliver me, please. Get me out of here. Help me. You got to save me from all of this struggle and trial and hardship." Paul goes on, he says, "I've labored and toiled, I've gone without sleep, I've known hunger and thirst, I've gone without food, I've been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I got stress." He says, "I face the daily pressure concern of my that I have for all the churches." The Apostle Paul records Jesus as having referred to you and me doing even greater works than Jesus did. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 12 says, Jesus said, "Very truly I say to you, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing." And he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind away, I mean, it's just like, how? What? What? I can't make sick people well. I can't make blind people see. What are you talking about, Jesus? This may seem frustrating and elusive at first. when we think about God doing miracles in biblical times, God doing miracles today, and yet there are times that we look up to Him, and sometimes He answers our prayers like we think He will, and other times He just doesn't. Is He proactive in my life? Is He going to just rush in and see what's wrong and say, John, will you allow me to heal? And I'll say yes, and He'll heal me. Or is He going to wait until I come to Him in humility and say, Lord Jesus, please, you got to heal my daughter. She's sick. I don't know how He'll respond to your prayer and my prayer. But I do know the answer that the Bible teaches. While it may not give definitive answers on how He's going to act in Devin's life today, we can be assured that the Bible is clear and very clear that He will be very active in our lives. Amen? And just because He may say no or maybe wait on a prayer request that we have presented before Him for years, it still means that He's helping us wrestle with the deeper question in life. And that is, maybe not, Lord, can you fix my physical ailment or this relationship, but Lord, may I know You better? You see, we cannot put God in a box. And as soon as we take a miracle and say, this is what God's going to do for me too, God says, wait a minute. You don't get it. You don't see the bigger picture. Look at Job. Here's a guy that had houses and lands and everything was going his way, and then something happened in the heavens, and all of a sudden, the devil was allowed to really shake Job's life. Job 37, 2 through 5, listen. This is at the end of the book of Job, as Job has wrestled with these questions that you and I are wrestling with as well. Listen to the roar of His voice, to the rumbling that comes from His mouth. He unleashes His lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of His roar. He thunders with His majestic voice, and don't you love it when He thunders into your life and you're like, wow, did you just see what God did? When His voice resounds, He holds nothing back. Praise the Lord for His healing, and there's testimonies. Thank God for what He's done. And His voice thunders in marvelous ways, and He does great things beyond our understanding. Who can know the mind of God? Not you. Not me. And even if He says no to a prayer that I've been praying for years, not right now, maybe God is helping us to understand the deeper questions that He's seeking for us to wrestle with. A really profound study I'd like to invite you to is the study of God's hand and God's face in Scripture. The Israelites, as they were going through trials, sought God to deliver with His mighty right arm and His mighty right hand. Bring water from a rock, God, we're thirsty. Deliver us from our enemies with Your mighty strong hand and Your mighty right arm. And there's nothing wrong with that prayer. But all the while, God is helping us to understand there is a deeper, more heart-important prayer that He really desires that all of us pray and that is that we may know Him and seek His face. Here's the difference. When I seek His hand, I want Him to do something that I can't do. I want Him to do something for me in my life. I want Him to intervene, and that's good. It's powerful. It's wonderful. But God's reminding us, I want you to know me. Beyond what I can do, I want you to know my heart. First Corinthians 16:11, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Psalm 27:8, my heart says to you, says of you, seek His face, your face, O Lord, will I seek. And how we can miss that in our desperate pleas for deliverance. Lord, deliver me. Just take your mighty right arm and make it right. He says, but you won't know me. Please know me. I want to spend time with you that you would know me. Not just as one who delivers from your current temporary problems, but one who saves you for eternity. Amen. Look to the Lord, Psalm 105. Seek His strength and seek His face always. Seeking God's face is a desire to know Him for who He truly is. Luke chapter 22, verses 15 through 20. And He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Do you hear His earnest plea? I've eagerly desired to be with you, that you would know me. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Not just get it done. Can you hear me all the way back? We're not just putting on a ceremony here. We're not just putting on some kind of ritual. He says, I've eagerly desired to share this with you, to share my life with you, that you would know me, that you would understand why I'm giving my life for you on the cross. I've eagerly desired that you would spend this time with me, not just half here and half out, but all here, all present, that you would know me. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, I will not drink of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And He took the bread and He broke it. And He gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Take it and eat it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup and He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Receive and remember the price that Christ paid to secure our salvation. As we close this morning, Jesus reacted to Jairus' request. He reacted to the request. He reacted to the woman in the crowd who reached out to him for healing. But for the little girl, although there were people rooting for her and supporting her and praying for her, advocating for her, can you hear me all the way back? There was nothing she could do. And that's when God went all the way to her and did whatever it took to raise her little body back to life. When I was dead in my transgressions and sins, Christ came to me. And I can't understand it. He's asked me to exercise my faith toward him, but I still couldn't save myself. He came to me and brought me back to life. Praise the Lord.
Will you pray with me? Lord, it's no accident that you bring the worship and the message together with the discipleship training we're receiving, Lord. It's no accident that it's all come together. And we thank you for John sharing the message with us today. And we thank you for your love and all the good things that you say about us, Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, we stand in awe,
yes,
of all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you guys stand and sing this with us? I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. His day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
Yes.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Yes. God bless you guys. God bless your week. You are dismissed.